Hello. I can't believe that we're already on our fifth call, our last call for Sacred Rhythms. I don't know about you, but for me, it's gone by really quickly. Time is moving more quickly these days for me in general, but these 5 weeks have gone by really quickly, and I'm really excited to take a look at the autumn today and the archetype of the sovereign. Before we jump into that, there are a couple of pieces that I wanted to mention to you. Some are housekeeping and a couple of different pieces. So first of all, your recordings for this program, you have them for life. And I want you some people have asked, like, when are the recordings coming down? How long will they be up in the member center? And the answer is, so long as I have a member center, you'll have the recordings. If at any point, which I don't ever foresee happening, not for decades, hopefully, you know, taking down the member center, I'll let you know, my team will let you know and give you plenty of time, you know, to get those, to download those recordings. So that's number one. And the second thing is our Facebook group, which has been so amazing. And, you know, for those of you that have been connecting into the Facebook group, I've just loved being able to connect with you there and coach with you there and just all the support and the connection that's going on there. We're going to keep our Facebook group open until May 24th. So it's about a week and a half from today. And the reason that we're not ending today, the reason why I'm keeping it open until the 24th is because we still have, you know, we're going to be talking about the autumn today and the sovereign, and you've got work to do this week. And I want to be there to hold the container for you and to support you in all the work that you'll be doing over this next week. I don't want you to just kind of think our container is finished at the end of our call today. So I'm still here and around to support you and with whatever you need. So that you can lean in a bit more to the sovereign work. Now, this is important, and I want you to really take this in. It's okay if you haven't done all the work over the last 4 weeks that you wanted to do. It's okay if you haven't gotten to all of the homework. It's okay if there's still more. I don't expect you to have fully done all the work. And in fact, you know, these 5 calls over these 4 weeks, these 5 weeks, this is just a beginning. It's not an ending. What we've opened up here through Sacred Rhythms is lifelong work. It's not once and done work, right? Like, I teach this. I've been studying this and working with this, you know, already for 20 plus years, and I still work with the archetypes. I still come back to it. It's not once and done. You might go through cycles with it, right, where you let it go for a little bit and come back to it, you know, all of that. But really, this is just the beginning, not an ending. The breakthroughs and the new awarenesses that have been coming through over these weeks are like seeds that are being planted. And even if you don't water those seeds, even if you don't continue to work with the seasons and the archetypes, some of those seeds are going to sprout because we have done some really wonderful work over these weeks. But if you continue to water the seeds that have been planted over this month, if you continue to work with the archetypes, the beliefs that have come up, the fears, all of it, even more will sprout and grow. And while this may either seem like a side point or an obvious point, this is actually one of the many big things that I want you to take for yourself and for your client work from this course. It's that when you do the deep work, when you do the soul work, you can have quick breakthroughs But the transformations, as you've heard me say, they take time. Imagine how different you would approach yourself and your business and your projects if you simply owned this. If you just simply owned it, that the transformation takes time. Imagine how different your client work might look if you and your clients would also not only own this, but really honor it deeply, as deep truth. So I hope that you will continue to work with the archetypes. And so then the question is, so how can you continue to work with the archetypes on your own? There are other ways to work with the archetypes with some support, and I'll get to that in a moment. But if you want to continue to work with the archetypes on your own, the best ways are the ways that I've already taught you over this course. So to continue to dialogue with the archetypes, to continue to channel their voice and their messages and their wisdom. Continue to move in the energy of the archetypes. Put on music. Dance as them. We haven't done in this course artwork, but make artwork with them. Collage. Make a queen collage. We'll look at the sovereign, the queen today. Make a fool collage or draw it out. Paint it if you're a painter. When we make art, it is another way of embodying the energy because we embody it as we make the art of it. And then we have that reminder of it, right? That physical, that visual reminder. So I want to encourage you to continue to do each of these things. Or to close your eyes and step into any of the four energies that you need as you're about to take an action or trying to figure out what action to take. Okay, so hopefully you will continue to work with them on your own. Now, some of you have been asking, how do you continue to go even deeper with the archetypes beyond the work that you can do on your own? You know, how do you befriend the fears that you've uncovered here in Sacred Rhythms? How do you rewire the limiting beliefs that have revealed themselves here? How do you avoid the self-sabotaging that you've uncovered as you've done the work here in Sacred Rhythms? How do you move out of the myth of perfection that maybe keeps you from initiating new projects? How do you hold yourself accountable to the actions that you want to take when you're in the growth stage? How do you continue to work with your inner child, the one who experienced so many of the original wounds in the first place? And if you're working also to support your own clients to transform, how do you help your clients with all of this? Well, one way is to join me for the Sacred Depths Coach Certification. Sacred Depths is a 10-month full immersion journey into, first and foremost, yourself, your psyche, your wisdom, and your depth. You can see the magnitude of what's been stirred in our cauldron here after just 1 month of soul work. Imagine what's possible over the course of 10 months of soul work, where each month we come together two or three times that month for deep digging into our fears, our limiting beliefs, our conflicting energies, for deep digging into the worldviews that have unconsciously been implanted into us, into our truest nature and deep digging into our deepest longings. Through all of this soul work, we don't only uncover all of this magical information and energy laying latent deep within us, but I also walk you through step by step dozens of techniques beyond the ones that we've learned here to be able to transform your fears into inspiration, to be able to transcend negative thought patterns that keep you stuck, to be able to put an end to self-sabotage, to be able to break the cycle of the black and white thinking that keeps you in not good enough mode, to be able to revolutionize your relationship with time so that you have more time for the things that are important, to be able to better harness the seasons, to be able to vision what you want for yourself with your full heart, to go deeper into some of your other archetypes beyond the destroyer, the fool, the lover, and the sovereign. In sacred depths, we also swim in the shadowy waters of the victim, the judge, the perfectionist, the flake, and so much more. And through the 10 months, we have time not only for the breakthroughs, but for the transformations as well. Even though your own inner soul dive is one of the most valuable things that you experience in sacred depths, it's not the only thing. Sacred depths is a full-service coaching certification for beginner and for seasoned coaches. And through our time together in that program, you not only become a better practitioner through doing your own inner work and diving into your own sacred depths, examining your own client triggers, looking at your own shadow dances, but you also become a better practitioner through learning very specific, concrete skills and techniques to use in your client work. You learn the foundational coaching skills of deep listening, creating awareness, breakthrough questioning, visioning, and strategizing. And even if you're already trained and have been working with clients for years, this isn't remedial for you. You'll go so much deeper into the mastery of these skills in an advanced way. I've trained some of the biggest name coaches and practitioners in the industry to become better at transformation. But that's not all. In the full Sacred Depth certification, we go way beyond the foundational skills to the even juicier, even more compelling skills that no other coach trainings teach. We go deep into understanding client and practitioner projections, how to help clients befriend their fears. We use neuroscience tools to understand how to rewire negative thought patterns. You learn about the inner workings of the myth of perfection and how to support your clients to break out of the shadows of perfectionism. We lay out step by step the wheel and cycle of self-sabotage that happens for nearly every human being and look at how and where to support clients to break that cycle of self-sabotage. We swim in the sacred and magical waters of using ritual and ceremony as a coaching tool. We go into advanced skills on how to use journaling as a coaching tool, and so much more. And the results of all of this inner soul work and outer skills training is knowing how to hold the most sacred space possible for yourself and for your clients to become more self-aware and heal. Not flinching when clients encounter obstacles, but instead knowing how to navigate them through it. Knowing how to give fully and generously to your clients without exhausting yourself or draining your energy. Welcoming big emotions that are ready to come up and guiding clients to full and healing expression of those emotions. Sacred Depths coaches are leaders who are real and authentic, and they really are guides and teachers whose clients and audiences remember them, whose clients have immense gratitude and love for them, and whose clients really credit them as one of the main reasons that they're so successful. But maybe most importantly, one of the things that happens through Sacred Depths is that you step more into who you are as a spiritual leader. You can stand tall and have confidence in your work, knowing that you're a wisdom keeper, and that your clients look to you to support them, not just in achieving their goals, but in their spiritual evolution. And in my book, if there ever was a moment in history to be a wisdom keeper, to be a spiritual leader who really supports clients in connecting to their depths and to their souls, that time is now. I always say that sacred depths isn't for your average practitioner or healer. It's for individuals who are super smart, who are spiritually evolved, who are passionate about doing the soul work for themselves and with their clients, and who know in their hearts that their mission on this planet is to put aside all of the surface work that's out there in the transformational industry and go to the depths to create real change inside and out. So I'll just share for another moment or two before we move on. There are two levels to this program. There's the full certification, which includes all of the things that I just mentioned and many, many, many more. And then there's also the foundation program, which is shorter. It's a 5-month version of, it's the first 5 months of Sacred Depths, and it includes all of those foundational skills, the energetics, the creating awareness, deep listening, breakthrough questioning, visioning, strategizing, and so much more. Both levels have a lot of, not only a ton of training and Q&A and all of that, but a ton of practice time as well. There are practicums. There's also opportunity for a coaching partner for more practice. And both levels also have a lot of bonus material, bonus business training material, as well as important topics that I've brought guest teachers in for. So, for example, what's the difference between the scope of coaching and the scope of therapy? How do you show up as a practitioner who is really sensitive to all different issues, including classism, racism, any kind of privilege? So there's a lot of different guest teachers. I have a lawyer specifically for coaches that speaks about how to put together contracts and all different kinds of legal issues. So if you want more information, you can go to joannalindenbaum.com/sacred-depth. I'll send you an email about that too. There's a special rate for the next couple of weeks. You'll see there's an early bird rate for both levels of the program, but especially for you in Sacred Rhythms, if you want to step in, you'll get an extra $377 off. So the cost of Sacred Rhythms will become free if you step into the program. And if you want to register, you can just do that online, and you can use the code WISDOM for that extra $377 off. Or if you want to have a conversation about it, get in touch, and we'll schedule a time to speak. Whether or not you continue into Sacred Depths, it's been such an honor to be with you over Sacred Rhythms, and I would just be even more deeply honored to continue to support you in Sacred Depths. Okay, so all that being said, let's talk about the autumn. All right, so the autumn. In the autumn, the long summer is starting to fade away. All of the work, the persistence, the consistent watering and giving sunlight that happened in the growth phase is behind you. You're tired. You're not exhausted, but you are tired from your labor. And now, in the autumn, the days aren't quite as long. The sun doesn't shine quite so bright in the sky. The air has an undertone of crispness to it. This is when you know the autumn has arrived. The fruits are fully ripe on the trees. The vibrant green leaves of the summer have made way to a more experienced array of colors on the leaves. Oranges, amber, crimson, maroon, and even purple, the color of royalty. The harvest is the time to gather the fruits of your labor, to be proud of the fruit that has grown, and to enjoy the fruits of your labor, to savor them, to take pleasure in them, to appreciate the fruit, to be in gratitude for it, and to celebrate what you've accomplished, to own your accomplishment, whether each and every fruit grew to fullness, or whether only some of the fruits grew. The harvest is a time to pause after a long and hard climb to the top of the mountain and to be able to rest. The harvest is a time of power and understanding what your efforts have taught you and where they have brought you. But so often we don't pause and we completely skip over the harvest. It's like we take the effort to climb and climb and climb to the top of a mountain, but instead of resting on the peak and enjoying the view and taking that break and feeling satisfaction in getting there, instead we get to the peak and all we can think of is, but I haven't reached the next peak, and we start scrambling up to the next peak. There's always a higher peak. Now, it's difficult for most people to embrace the harvest, but I want to share that it's particularly difficult for women to fully embrace the harvest. Over the last generation or so, women have made incredible strides in society, you know, personally, like all of that. But that being said, our society is still often not set up to be harvest friendly to women. Our society, I'm going to say it again because this is so important, it's part of all of our psyches. It's been implanted. Our society is still often not set up to be harvest friendly to women. Many women today have experienced, you know, they've done the growth work. Many have achieved incredible things. We all have, really. But so many of us still don't feel worthy or deserving of the harvest. Or we don't know how to deeply and actually take in the harvest, to have that feeling of deep satisfaction in what we've done. Or we're addicted to accomplishment. And again, because probably we don't feel worthy, or we don't know how to take in the feeling of satisfaction. Or for some of us, we don't know how to embrace the harvest, to own the accomplishment, because we're, some part inside of us is scared of being burned at the stakes. Women still get criticized for accomplishing and owning their accomplishments in one way or another, even though, again, we've come so far. And I know I can just speak for myself. This is something that I have worked through a lot and have come so far with. And this is also something that I will continue to be working on probably the rest of my life. I'll tell you guys a quick story. So when I first became a student of the seasons, and then I became a ritualist, and I was co-leading with Dawn Copeland, who I shared about with all of you, our first call. She was my first business partner, my partner in crime. We led women's circles together, and we used to lead new moon circles and full moon circles and also earth holiday circles. So for winter solstice and, you know, all the equinoxes, the solstices, and then the cross-quarter holidays. And the first couple of years that Dawn and I led circles together, one of the earth holidays is called Lammas, L-A-M-M-A-S. It happens on August 1st, and it's the first harvest. There's three harvests, one on Lammas, one 6 weeks later on spring equinox, and then one 6 weeks later on Halloween. So Lammas is the first. It's the big harvest celebration. It's really, and in women's circles, it's really the moment where you own and honor, you know, all of your accomplishments from the last year. You own your mastery and all of that. And the first couple of years that Dawn and I were leading these circles, we always would co-facilitate, you know, we would create the circles together, create the curriculum, to you know, all the things, the ceremony, and then we would co-facilitate. And the first couple of years, without fail, it was really the first 3 years, I magically would get sick right before the Lama circle and I couldn't show up. Dawn would have to facilitate her on her own, or, you know, last minute something would come up. You know, and I never missed circles ever. But I was consistently every year missing the Lama circle. And it just seemed like by accident, you know. But by the third year I realized it wasn't an accident. There was, even though I was teaching, I was leading, you know, like leading women around this, there was a part of me that was not able to celebrate my accomplishments, to take satisfaction in what I had achieved, you know, to really own all of me. It was so telling to see that. It was so ironic and so telling, right? So I share this with you to say, like, if you're here right now and you're listening to what the harvest is and you're saying, oh, my gosh, it is so hard, I just want you to know it's not alone. For many of us, it is lifelong work. So so many of us in one way or another skip the harvest. We just skip over it. Right? We just go straight to the next peak. What happens when we skip over everything that we've been looking at around the harvest? Well, number one, we're exhausted, right? Because it's work, 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 and more work, 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 work. It's just all like in the growth phase in a way, right? Exhaustion. We don't get to enjoy the fruits of our labor. Everything feels like a failure in a way, or not good enough, right? Because if we don't take the time to enjoy the fruits of the labor, to be in gratitude for it, and to appreciate ourselves also for it, how can we ever feel like we've accomplished anything? How can we ever feel good enough? Things feel like a failure. It's like unrequited always, you know? The other thing is that when we skip over the harvest, it's really hard to then go into winter. It's really hard to release something that you haven't honored and that you haven't celebrated. I'm going to say that again because this is really important. It's really difficult to release something that you haven't honored and you haven't celebrated. And this is one of the reasons why in almost any culture that you look at, when it comes to funerals or death rites, there is always some kind of eulogy, eulogizing, honoring, memorializing, remembering, celebrating. It's almost like the harvest and the release, right, in one. But we need that harvest. Again, not to release the person. We never release the person or the love, but to release the relationship in the form that it was in with the person alive, right? We cannot release. It is very hard. I shouldn't say we can't, but it is very hard to release something that we haven't honored and celebrated. We cling on. Think about romantic relationships. Even if it is like just a horrible, you're in a horrible relationship and it didn't work out, 9 times out of 10, in order to really let the person go, we need to, at the very least, honor what we've learned through the relationship or how we've personally grown. Even if we can't honor that person at all, right? We have to at least honor how we've grown through it and what we've learned. That needs to happen in order to truly let go. Okay, so let's take a moment and pause here. And just take a moment and jot down what's really landing for you right now. What are you starting to see so far that's really important for you? We're going to go deeper into it, but let's just first take a pulse here. What's important for you? Okay. Let's take this a little deeper. I've got some journaling questions for you. When has it been difficult for you to acknowledge yourself or feel satisfied with your accomplishments? This is personal or professional. When has it been difficult for you to acknowledge yourself or feel satisfied with your accomplishments? Take a moment with that. When has it been difficult for you to acknowledge yourself or feel satisfied with your accomplishments? What are the stories that you tell yourself about your accomplishments? What are the stories that you tell yourself about your accomplishments? A lot of stories, I know some of the stories I've told myself are it's not good enough, or I could definitely do better, or it's not as good as she did. What are some of the stories that you tell yourself about your accomplishments? Next question. What have you not celebrated or harvested because it hasn't been a full success? What are the things that you haven't celebrated or harvested because they haven't been a full success? And before you answer that, let me just say this is another one of the big reasons why we can skip over autumn, right? Why we can skip over the harvest part of the cycle. Because something doesn't turn out the way that we expected to. And so we decide that the whole thing is a failure. And so then what happens is that we don't harvest, we don't acknowledge and celebrate what is good from it, what we have learned, what we are taking away, or the progress that we have made, because we just see it in this myth of perfection way, right? Like it's if it's not perfect, it's a failure, right? And then what happens is then we don't get to own all that we've accomplished and created through the effort of the spring and the summer on that project. And then we don't let go of what needs to let go of from the project. We might let go of the project itself, but we don't let go of the bad feelings about it. And then it's harder to initiate the next thing because of all of the issues, that we looked at for spring, right? It's important. It's so important to be able to break out of the myth of perfection and to also reframe so that we can celebrate and harvest what's ready to be celebrated and harvested. Sometimes a project needs to continue on. It needs more growth, but before we can continue with the growth, if it's not quite going the way we want, we need to honor and celebrate what's going well. We need to know what we want to let go of, what's not working well. And in that way, we can, start the next cycle of the project, right? We'll get more into that in a little bit. But for now, all that being said, what have you not celebrated or harvested because it hasn't been a full success? I'll give you another moment with that. Okay, there's lots more for us to explore here, but I want to pause because I'm sure a lot is being stirred up so far. And I'd love to hear, what are you taking so far? What are you seeing? What's coming up? Start to. What's coming up for you? What are you starting to see? What's feeling important? I know there's a lot here in ball.
One thing I noticed about why it's been the stories I tell myself is that I confuse I conflate the results with the process. So I get to the results, but then I'm like, well, why couldn't have the process been different? And I wonder if that's related to like my issues around like growth and summer and consistency and persistency.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious your take about that, but it's like there's a part of me in Harvest that's like, well, why did it have to be so hard instead of like celebrating what I was able to do?
Yeah. What do you think is holding you back? Like, I get that the difficulty is holding you back from celebrating what has transpired, but I feel like there's something else. And it might be we're the next set of kind of inquiry questions. You may not know yet. The next set of inquiry questions may answer that, but just in this moment, what's your intuitive sense? Like, why are you holding yourself back from seeing what there is to celebrate? What would
I think, you know, if you did? Right, that fundamentally by questioning, there's something around like not enough, either that the process was too difficult or that I didn't do the process well enough, and like, and even just not being able to separate the two.
Yeah. So it feels like there's a couple things in there. So one, I think, is just conflating it didn't happen the way I wanted with it sucked.
Yeah.
And then there is also something else in there in ball. You're not hearing it exactly, but what I am hearing is like, and I think this goes back to the growth. This is more around growth than harvest. Is like, it's almost like there's an agony in taking the growth steps that feels so hard that when you get to the harvest phase, it's like, ugh, why was that so hard?
Yeah.
So that might be like a lover, passion, desire, you know, to apply more of her energy to action steps that you're taking.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for bringing that forward. Amelia. You there, Amelia? Oh, wait. No, you're not. I thought I took you. Amelia, your thing is so funny. I think because of how you're calling in, I lost you now. All right, re-raise your hand if you want me to come back to you. Penny.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Great. I was just really aware of how often I'll celebrate, wait, like I just don't let it last. I celebrate very briefly, and then either I don't get the kind of feedback or people move on to something else and I don't let myself stay there.
So this is important, right? Why aren't you letting yourself stay there?
Yeah. Well, I think one, there's this being seen and like taking too much attention or not feeling worthy for that, not feeling like the accomplishment was important enough or it was flawed in some way. And there's a thing about like, there's also this thing about taking up too much space.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, and I realize now that not only has that taken place in terms of how I'll let myself celebrate with others or in front of others, but even with myself then.
Yes. I'm so glad that you're seeing. I know it's not easy to see this, but I'm so glad that you're bringing awareness to it and shedding light on it, because now you have a different choice now. We're going to continue the exploration, but one little challenge I would give you, Penny, is next time you're harvesting something, even if it's uncomfortable, see if you can linger in the celebration and the honoring of yourself longer.
Right.
Than you want to. Yeah, good.
Yep. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I just realized, like, wow, I just moved through that so fast. It doesn't get, and then I don't get to really embody it. I don't get to really feel it.
Yeah, you don't get to sit in, integrate it, and, like, really feel the satisfaction.
It.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm so glad that you're seeing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you. I'll take a couple more shares. Ayla.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. I'm running into the thing of, you know, I've been doing real estate for a long time, and it really so truly was never my passion. I mean, I feel like I tried to really own it for years with A Move with Heart, and it just really wasn't and hasn't been for years. And I've worked with a couple different brokers since, you know, A Move with Heart, and I feel like there's part of me that just, I have not deemed any of my time within real estate as something to celebrate. And so I'm just feeling like this, like, kind of pain and a little bit of grief of, like, oh my God, 12 years of my life is like null and void and meant nothing, you know? So I feel like there's so much work that I need to, you know, looking into it. When we work a job as a job and not as a passion, you know, or.
Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, I know it's hard to look at this, so I just really want to honor your courage in, you know, I know that you've kind of like peeked at it, you know, in other ways, but I can feel you're like really staring it in the face. And first, I just want to honor your courage in that. And I know that the staring it in the face is hard, but it's what's going to help you actually let go of what needs to let go of and then start what needs to start in the spring. But you do still need to harvest. I rarely say you need to, but it would be good if you can harvest your real estate career. And I have a sense that there is actually much to harvest from your real estate career. And so I want you, if you are willing to, you take some time, like a good half hour, 45 minutes, and I really want you to list out every single lesson that you have learned through the career, whether it's about real estate itself that might serve you in the future or about how to work with others on a team or things that you've learned from clients or things that you've learned from about yourself. But I want you to list out every single learning. I want you to list out just if there were any relationships, even if the relationships are finished now, that were beautiful and enjoyable and pleasurable for you. Any ways that the money that you made supported you and your family. Like really make a detailed list of what can be harvested. I get chills when I say that because I agree it's time to move on from it, but there's actually so much there for you to harvest, and I sense you need to in order to move on.
Yeah, I think in a big way. I think that's what's keeping me from being able to move on.
Yeah.
Like, because it feels like it's perpetually never ended.
And it's because it's like we don't want to end something that we don't think we've gotten something out of.
It's
unrequited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad this is coming up. I'm really glad
me too.
You're looking at it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling on me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Take another share. Rachel.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Okay, so over many years, I've been involved with really good projects. And I think my general overview is the projects I've been involved with in the past have been of service and good things have happened from them.
Mm-hmm.
But on these few occasions, things have ended badly in relationships, in working relationships, in personal relationships around the project. And I have felt really wrong in a lot of ways about that. And because of that, I'm realizing what's coming up now is I've kind of wiped out any kind of celebration or ownership.
Mm.
The way it ended.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really come up quite clear. It's like I'm not worthy of that.
Yeah.
Even though I worked really hard, dedicated, committed, showed up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't negotiate that ending.
Yes.
I feel like I can't celebrate that work.
Yes. I'm so glad that you're seeing this. I can feel how painful it is to see how you haven't been owning your accomplishments. But I'm glad that you're seeing this now, because now you actually have choice. Now that you see it, you actually have choice to be able to move towards owning.
Mm-hmm.
What would you need to believe or believe about yourself in order to give yourself permission to own the accomplishment?
Well, I think I would need to allow myself to just get with, I did the best that I could right there. I'm able to do that for others. I don't seem to be able to do that so much for myself.
Yeah.
I did the best that I could with my know-how then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is, in some ways, this is like classic myth of perfection, forgetting that you're a human being, putting yourself to the standards of the gods, right? Like, you can see how it's fine for other human beings to make mistakes, but for Rachel, no, she has to be godlike.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of my printing is about that perfection, particularly growing up in the church, in the religion, and that being the complete, total focus of the life, and that standard that is held up.
Yes.
And the default is to keep striving for that.
Yes, which is, you never can. You're always going to fail.
Yeah.
At that.
Yeah.
It's for human beings, it's not possible. Simply not possible. So it's a setup from the beginning that has been keeping you from taking full ownership of your accomplishments.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm glad that this is coming up, that you're seeing this. I want you to sit with this. Maybe do some journaling on it later today, tomorrow. Okay?
Wow. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to keep on going. I know there are other hands raised, and we're going to get to a couple more shares in a few minutes, but let's continue to dive in here. Because there's a lot more here. I've got some more questions for you. Next question. Did you get acknowledged often as a child? And if you did, how were you acknowledged? Did you get acknowledged and we can say acknowledged and celebrated often as a child? And if so, how? How were you acknowledged and celebrated? Or how were you not? And if you were, did it feel authentic? Right? Lots of pieces to look at with this set of questions. Just whatever wants to come through. Maybe you got acknowledged, but it was always in comparison to a sibling. Maybe you didn't get acknowledged at all. Maybe you got acknowledged, but there was always an A minus, you know. It was like there was, the parent always let you know there was still more to go. Maybe you were acknowledged, but the acknowledgement felt like an acknowledgement of the parent, a reflection of the parent, not about you. Next question. How did other women, or how have other women in your life modeled owning their accomplishments? How have other women in your life modeled owning and celebrating themselves and their accomplishments? Next question, and this one I want you to just be totally honest. This one might bring up looking at some shadows. What do you think about women who own their mastery and totally celebrate themselves? What do you really think about women who totally own their mastery and totally celebrate themselves? What do you think about women who totally celebrate themselves? Here's another question to consider. This might stir up something for you. How well do you receive? How well do you receive? I'll tell you why I'm asking this question here. I want you to take a look at, you know, for example, if you receive a compliment or an acknowledgement, how well do you receive it? That's one level to this question. Another level to this question is, quite literally, how well do you receive that which you create and that which is created for you in your life. So, for example, I'll just give you an example for myself. For a long time, I, even though I was earning, like my business successful, and I was earning and I was creating abundance, you can say I was receiving abundance, right? The numbers in my bank account were going up, but I didn't fully take it in. Like, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't really get that I was abundant. I still felt like there was scarcity, like there wasn't enough. Or I could be with my children and they could be laughing and playing, and generally we could be having a good time, but I wasn't receiving the moment. I wasn't deeply taking in the pleasure of the moment, receiving it, right? So there's lots of different ways you can go with this question. How well do you receive? And part of this is, can you take in goodness? Can you take in goodness for better or worse? And, I've had to work on this one for myself, and I still do. Some of us were trained to take in the pain, but we don't really know literally how to absorb the goodness. One more question for right now. What are you harvesting in your life right now? Or what are you starting to see actually should be harvested in your life right now? So what are you currently harvesting? Or what do you see you've not been harvesting because of all the things we've looked at today, but it's really time to harvest it? That may have already, been answered by a previous question I asked, but just in case. All right, let's pause here for a moment. Star, I'd love to hear what's coming through. I'll take one or two because we've still got a lot to do. What's coming through? Star two. Renee.
Joanna. Just starting with your most recent question, I have to say, Gayla shared before, I think that was her name, the one who's been in real estate. I feel like she's my soul sister. I need to find her later on Facebook group, and like happy to do the whole exercise with her because I definitely need to harvest my real estate business from 13 years. I feel like that's like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I also, one of the, there's so many conditionings that I have really seen for myself, and I've worked like on receiving practice that I created for like a long time. Like, I have one family friend who's a woman, and she has always like owned her accomplishments. And then I would hear my mom and my grandma talking about her, and it's like, it's not nice to brag. And my grandmother had this like, good merchandise speaks for itself, right? Like, you shouldn't have to say it, right? Or like, when I would accomplish something, it would be like, don't rest on your laurels. Or my dad is a big like, oh, you accomplished that because like it's all because of me, it's like he definitely like, you're like, oh, does the parent take credit? I'm like, yeah, I got that too. And then also I would have those like, well, we expected you to do that, so like it's like oh, I did this, and like, yeah, but I was expected to do it. So you don't get celebrated for things you're expected to do. Like,
yeah, no, and I'm so glad this is coming through. This is what I was talking about earlier. Like, so many of these things get implanted into us, right? And so whatever receiving practices you've done and you've put together, I'm sure they've been wonderful, but they don't work unless you work on these beliefs. You know what I mean? Like, the two have to have it in tandem. So I'm glad that this is coming through. I'm glad you're sharing it with, because so many of the beliefs you just shared, I'm sure other women on the call are ticking off. Good.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference, too, between, for me at least, between receiving, like I've really worked on being able to receive compliments or things that people do for me and give to me, but not, and even like in some ways like receiving my own care and feeling the worthiness to do that. But then there's like receiving like what I create in the world, and this conditioning, and this kind of relates to what came up on the call from a couple weeks ago with my mom, right, is like this very ingrained belief that whatever you are given, whether it's a pregnancy or something else, can be taken away at any time, and so you can't celebrate it because it could disappear.
Yeah. So, you know, you can choose that one or any of the others. And I know you've done so much work, Renee, but one thing, you know, that might be helpful is to start catching yourself, like really in the act, in the middle of the act of the thinking it, right? And that takes some practice because our thoughts fire off, like the neurons fire off so quickly, especially with the thoughts that have been down the neural pathways hundreds, thousands, millions of times, right? But start to see if you can catch yourself in the act. Good. Thank you. All right. I'll take another share here. Lynn.
Yep. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hey. So, this is sort of a follow-up from what was going on last week. And last week when you were talking about the passion of the lover, I recognized a lot of times I don't have that passion. It's almost like this feeling of, well, don't get too passionate about that. And I was reflecting last time about, it was like a behavior of my mother when I was a child, that when I would get really excited and passionate, she would sort of say, you know, well, that's not going to come to anything, which sort of, I was thinking it's sort of related to this, this archetype that, oh, that's not going to yield anything much. You know, it's not even worth your time to get passionate and excited and do that, put the energy into that. And I find myself sort of doing that also, that, you know, why even, I might have an idea and sort of, it's like I kill the passion with an expectation of what I'm going to be able to harvest. And I'm thinking of like, particularly like in relationships, like me personally, not so much about my mom, but like if you have a relationship and it's not successful and you go on to the next one, and maybe I'm not harvesting the good parts about past relationship. And then it's like, well, why get excited about
Then it causes trouble in the spring, 100%. That's why I always say, like, none of the phases are separate from each other. We need each one because each one progresses to the next and the next and the next. So if that's coming up at the start of a relationship or considering starting a relationship, then for sure you want to go back and harvest, because if you only see the last relationship or string of relationships as bad and nothing came of them, then it is going to be very hard to start again. Why start again? It's almost like that knapsack that the fool holds. You know, the fool doesn't go in with nothing. There is the knapsack, and the knapsack are what we've harvested, is what we've harvested from the last cycle. We need that in order to jump off the cliff and start something new.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's just sort of like it was just sort of weighing on me from last week, and I was thinking, okay, maybe that's related to the archetype for this week. So
yeah.
Thank you.
You knew. Good.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, we're gonna keep on going, and then I'll come back to the. I'm not even gonna lower hands. I'm gonna just come back to the hands that are raised in a little bit. So, okay, before we get to the sovereign, there's one other piece. I mean, there's so much here, but there's one other piece for sure that I just want to mention before we get to the sovereign, which is that there's one other part of the harvest. We look at this deeply in sacred depths, but I just want to mention this now. So, like we've been talking about, one part of the harvest is enjoying the fruits of the labor, owning the accomplishment, taking the pause. But the other thing that has always traditionally happens in a harvest is separating the wheat from the chaff. As you harvest, you go through and you say, oh, this one is good, keeping it. Nah, this one not so good, not keeping it. This looks pretty good, I'm going to keep it. That one, not so good, not going to keep it. So in other words, assessment, so that we know what to take with us into the next cycle and what is going to be destroyed through the beginning part of the winter phase. I always, so let's think back now to, there's always mini cycles within, especially within a larger growth cycle, right? So as an example, you know, the growth phase of your business might be over 20, 30, 40 years, right? But there's going to be mini harvests, deaths, winters, and then springs throughout that long 20, 30, 40-year growth phase. And part of what needs to happen in the harvest is the owning and the celebrating of what's been accomplished, but also the other part that wants to happen during the mini cycle, you know, that harvest is the assessment, right? So let's say any program, right, like any program that I offer, you know, there's the coming up with the idea, right? We can call that spring, and the getting the foundation set. And then there's the creating the curriculum and building all of that out and really working through it. And, you know, the part of the growth is also bringing people into the program and then executing the program, right? At the end of the program, even if I know I'm going to offer it again, I'm going to harvest, right? So first I'm just going to own how amazing it was and all the different pieces and what came out of it, you know, all the things. But then I'm also going to say, you know, this part and this part and this part worked really well, but for the next cycle, this, this, and this didn't work so well, right? Or after every launch, I'm going to do that. So, so when you are harvesting something, you want to look at what worked really well. What didn't work so well? What am I learning from this entire experience? What do I want to do differently moving forward? And all of those questions really will also help you answer, what do I want to bring with me into the next cycle, and what do I want to leave behind? Right, so I do this regularly in my business, at least once a year, just for my business overall. I do it at least at the end of every cycle of an offer. Like, I will do this at the end of Sacred Rhythms, right? But I've actually, the truth is, every week I've done a little mini harvest. Okay, what worked well? What didn't work, right? All the things. So make sure that you are doing that harvest activity of assessment. It will help you move through and give you what you need for the next, you know, for the next evolution, for the next cycle. Okay, so we have actually already begun doing our work on the sovereign, believe it or not, through this whole discussion. But let's, in a more focused way, start leaning into the sovereign. And I oftentimes when I teach sacred rhythms, I think I've told you guys before, the archetypes that I use are actually the four phases of womanhood. And so sometimes instead of the fool, I use the maiden. Instead of the mother, I mean, instead of the lover, we look at the mother. Instead of the sovereign, we look at the queen. Instead of the destroyer, we look at the crone. They're related, but they're a little different, too. There's a little different entry points. But the reason why I'm bringing it up here is because we're looking at the sovereign, but it's really important to mention the queen. Because for so long, women were not, even in the women's spirituality movement, there was maiden, mother, and crone. But the time of life where a woman is in her queen phase was never recognized, right? And this goes back to all of these ideas implanted in society around women and accomplishment, around women in their prime, all the things. I really want to honor a woman named Donna Hennes, H-E-N-N-E-S. She's the first one to add the queen in. Until her, it was just maiden, mother, crone. So we're going to be looking, you know, I think I'm going to use in this discussion sovereign and queen interchangeably. Use whichever language works best for you. But I did want to honor the queen. And in order for us to look, really look at the sovereign and really look at the queen, the first place I want to look at are in some of the shadows of the sovereign and the queen. Because the truth is that, for sure, the queen, and even royalty in general, there's a lot of, how do I want to say this? There's a lower level energy, right, that are, some of it is fairy tale. When I say fairy tale, I mean store narratives that a society has made up, and some of it is real, right? So, for example, there is abuse of power. Women in power, we want to lock them up, right? Narrative. And then, like abuse, when there's abuse of power, there's truth to it. And the reason why I bring this up is because oftentimes we may have a block to stepping fully into our sovereign if we have limiting beliefs about what it means to be in our sovereign or what it means to be a queen. If we fear being the evil queen, or we fear that they'll shout, lock her up, it's very hard to step into that role. It's very hard then to to really connect in with the highest energy of the sovereign, which is she who has experience. She who sits on her throne because she deserves to be there. She who has done amazing things and has learnt so much. Some of those learnings through her mistakes, which she owns. The sovereign who sits on the throne owns her brilliance, but knows that she is not perfect. She knows her strengths, and she also owns her flaws with love. She is a leader. She is an empowered leader who does not have power over, nor does she desire power over. She is sovereign unto herself and serves as a role model for others to find their own sovereignty. The Queen appreciates her accomplishments, has confidence in herself, and also appreciates the accomplishments of others and has confidence in them. So with all that being said, let's first just take a moment, like I said, to look at the shadow. How have you been in misaligned relationship with your inner sovereign? Or another way to ask this question is, what are you scared of when it comes to your sovereign? We'll just lightly look at this. We're not going to do full-on lean into the shadow here, but just to stir some of this, stir the cauldron around this a little bit for you. Just lightly, lightly look at this here. How have you been in not-so-aligned relationship with your inner sovereign? What have you been scared of? Or even, you know, why do you resist her? What about her do you think you might not like? Sometimes the shadow, our shadow sovereign, is jealous or competitive. Sometimes she's power hungry. We might be scared that our heads will get too big if we step fully into our sovereign, or that we'll stop caring about others. Whatever it is. It's important just to, at least for now, like I said, we won't go full on shadow, but just to kind of peek in and see what's going on there. So whatever just came up, just honor it, right? Just be in gratitude for becoming more aware and conscious of it and really seeing it. And then from there, let's connect into our elevated sovereign, our elevated queen. So take a moment, close your eyes. And just begin to connect with your inner sovereign or your inner queen. And call this one down so that you can see this one. And just take a moment and notice what your inner sovereign or your elevated inner queen looks like. Really connect with her. And we're going to do some writing. I want you to ask your queen, what is her message for you? Let's ask her, what is your message for me? And then write from her voice. What is your message for me? Keep on writing, see what else she wants to say. Continuing to connect in with your sovereign, with your inner sovereign, and ask your sovereign, what do they want you to believe about yourself? That may have already come through in the message, but ask anyway. What do they want you to believe and know about yourself? On going, got about another 30 seconds. And then bring whatever you're writing to a close for now. And just read over everything that your inner sovereign or inner queen just shared with you. And just make note of anything that's important to make note of. All right. I want to hear what your queens had to tell you. I'm going to open up in just a little bit for Q&A. And more sharing, but there are just a few more pieces I want to make sure we get through today. So first of all, I'm going to be giving you some other work to do over this week to be able to really continue to lean in to your sovereign and really connect to your sovereign and to continue to work through some of the issues that, you know, have been stirred up through this call. But for now, I want to take a few minutes, since we're on the topic of harvest, and because Sacred Rhythms is starting to come to an end, to harvest this experience, to harvest this program. We still have another week-ish left, but let's begin to harvest. And by the way, for those of you that are facilitators, have you noticed that we started the program with spring, with a strong foundation? The first call was about the full cycle itself. We looked at those issues. You know, I set foundations also. You know, like, what are the protocols of the program? How is it going to work, right? We all kind of, like, dove in. You know, you kind of had to dive off the cliff. Probably a lot of you that hadn't worked with me before maybe didn't know what to expect, right? And then throughout the program, we've been in growth phase, right? Each week, building on the next, you've been doing work. We've been doing work together, right? So even programs have cycles, right? And an important part of, like, we're looking at today, an important part of any cycle is harvest, and you always want to do that when you're working with your groups or when you're working with your one-on-one. So let's harvest a little bit. All the big work that we've been doing this last month together. So in this, you know, just these short few weeks, you won't be able to list all of these things, but take a moment, like, what are some of the biggest things that you've learned? What are some of the biggest things that you're taking away? We started by looking at survival mechanisms. We've been through all of the phases of the cycle. We've been through a lot. What are some of your biggest takeaways? What are some of the most important things for you that you've learned? You another moment with that one. Next question. What do you want to honor about yourself and how you've shown up for this process? And again, we're just going to throw away any ideas of perfection, right? Okay, if you didn't do all the work, if you didn't come to all the calls live or missed parts of the calls or didn't show up in the Facebook group, right? What is it that you want to honor because there's so much? What is it that you really want to acknowledge and honor and celebrate about yourself and how you've shown up for yourself to do the work of this program and what you've brought forward and what resources and brilliances you've shown up with? What do you want to honor and celebrate about yourself here? Don't skimp on this one, okay? It's important. Next question. Based on all that you've learned and all that you're taking away and all the ways that you've shown up, I want you to give yourself a couple of like recommendations or prescriptions for where you want to go next with your work on the seasons, the archetypes, soul work, your soul work or your client work. So are there particular beliefs? Right? Don't give yourself more than 3-4 recommendations. Are there, you know, particular ways you want to continue to work with a particular archetype? Are there certain beliefs or fears, something you want to bring into your client work, right? It's more than the 3 or 4 things, but just to not be so overwhelmed so you can be clear for yourself, where do you want to go next with all that we've stirred up here? Because like I said at the beginning of this call, this is the beginning. And then last question in this set for now, based on all of this, what is a sacred promise that you want to make to yourself moving forward? What is a sacred promise that you are ready to make to yourself moving forward? Whatever that sacred promise is, whatever you've just written down on your paper, don't just give it lip service. Don't just have written it down because I asked you to. And take a moment and really make that promise to yourself, maybe with a hand on your heart and the other hand on the piece of paper where you've written this, whatever is going to be meaningful for you, make this sacred promise to yourself. I'm going to stay on the line for shares and takeaways and any questions that you have. Please post takeaways in the Facebook group. I'll still be posting quite a bit in the Facebook group this week. But before we go into our Q&A time, I just want to take the moment. You know, we took time to harvest, and let's take a moment and really honor, even though we'll be in the program for another 7-10 days, because this is our kind of last call, just want to acknowledge it, and that every end is also a new beginning. And that's how the cycles turn. And in so saying, the work of this circle is almost done, but really only just begun. As we complete our work over this next week, may you return to your ordinary lives as extraordinary women. May you walk with the beauty and the wholeness and the fullness of the entire cycle in your heart and in your body and in your mind. May you have access to your destroyer and your fool and your lover and your sovereign at any moment, and in the right moment, may you be in conscious relationship with each of them as you continue to step more and more into the person that you are, into the projects you are meant to be working on, into your soul work, and into the impact you're meant to be making on this planet. I'm so grateful to each and every one of you, whether I've heard your voice numerous times or whether you've been quiet and listening to the recordings. I am just in deep gratitude of your presence and all that you've been putting in to our work together. I am honored and humbled and just in such gratitude for you. Thank you. Okay. So I will be posting some additional homework in the Facebook group. Please post your takeaways. I'm going to be opening up for shares and Q&A in a moment. And also, I just want to remind you again about the invitation that I made at the beginning of our call for Sacred Depths. I would just love for you to read through the information. And for those of you that haven't been through Sacred Depths, I know some of you have, and take it in, and would, of course, be honored if you stepped in or if you would like to have a conversation with me. Most likely it will be with one of my team members. And you have that special, not only the early bird rate, but then that special savings on top of it. The cost of this program will just come off the cost of Sacred Depths, and that's as long as the Facebook group is open until May 24th. And again, that's at joannalindenbaum.com/sacred-depths. Okay, so with that, let's hear. What is it that you would like to share? What's coming up for you? And also, any questions, business and otherwise, I would love to answer them for you. We've got time. So star two. I'm going to take some of the hands that were raised from before. I've got Jessica and Dana. I'll start with you guys if you still want to share. Jessica.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. So I'm going to have to write in the Facebook page because so many things came up, but a couple that struck me. So one was when you were asking about what prevents you from fully harvesting at the end of a project, I was feeling like something that always comes up for me is this feeling that somehow I didn't, it's not exactly that it wasn't perfection, because there's other times when I have done things that clearly weren't perfect, but I was able to do it, to celebrate it. And I realized it's sort of this weird, undefined feeling that somehow I did something wrong, that maybe I wasn't really fully there, or I just didn't put myself in it somehow. But I think when I felt that way, I always saw that as some flaw in who I was, like there was something about me that I was unable to really do it right or be there. And as I was thinking about it this time, it just totally clicked for me that if during the process itself I had really fully embraced the lover, that then when I got to the harvesting stage, I would feel no matter what the outcome was that I'd really been there. And I just had this really clear vision that I just hadn't really embraced the lover, that that's what it came down to.
I love it. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. I got the chills when you were talking. That makes so much sense. Like, that's why I'm saying they're all, like, we need each of the phases. They're all interconnected. So sometimes we can get those insights about the others, you know, when we're looking at the harvest. And I'm so glad that came through. And from what I know about you, Jessica, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think it's a beautiful, juicy, delightful invitation to dance more with your lover, you know, to really be in that energy and to really apply it to the things that are important to you.
Yeah.
Nice. So glad that came through. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Dana.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
So I just started taking a tarot course, and I just decided to pull a card before the class, and I got the Queen of Wands. So it just feels kind of perfect that I got a queen card today. And I feel like something new came up for me. I've done some of this, you know, work before, and the new theme that came up for me was this idea that there can be more than one queen. I feel for me, there's a lot of like comparisonitis that goes on in the sense where it's like I never am feeling good enough. And then I'm always comparing myself to like someone else that's like further along the path or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then so I'm never, and like when I was channeling the voice of the queen, it was like, just take your throne, like sit on your throne. Like, and then I pictured kind of a big land where there's like a lot of different, you know, areas with different thrones and different queens. And it was like, sit on your throne. Like once you take your throne, people will come, like your people will come.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, and there could be other lands with other queens and other people. So that just felt really important to me.
Yeah, it's. I'm so, so glad it came through, and I'm glad that you're sharing it here because it's 100%, and like it impacts so like our understanding of the queen, and it can be when our inner sovereign or our inner queen is weak, or we're not fully consciously engaging with it. What happens is that she looks to other queens or, you know, and feels like they're better, or she says, I need to be the ultimate queen and nobody else can have a throne except for me, right? Just two different coins of the same shadow, in a sense. And, you know, I'll just get on my soapbox for a second on this one. Part of this has to do with the patriarchy and what it's done to women and, you know, all of that. And so it's actually such a big piece and so healing to say she can have it and I can have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward, and I'm so glad that came up.
I just want to share quickly, too. I found a piece that I want to investigate, too, like things that were, I guess, modeled or things from childhood. And there is an element always of, like, there was always, like, you know, if I got an A or less than a 90, it was always like, you could do better. And it did always feel like I was being pushed to like always do better. And if I didn't do, if I wasn't perfect or if someone else was better than me, it was like, you know, so I see a correlation between those pieces. So,
yeah, good. Good. And I think that will help you harvest more, Dana, because then it's like we can't, like nothing is ever 100, right? Like on tests, we can get 100. But besides that, like we don't, there is no other 100, right? So it will help you celebrate the 95s and the 90s and even the 80s, you know, and even the 70s. There are big pieces to celebrate and to assess, right? Like separate the wheat from the chaff then and continue, but I think it's going to help with all of that. Good.
And that's what I wasn't doing that in my business at all. Like I was going like right to winter, like, okay, that launch didn't go how I wanted. So like, let me just start over next year with something completely different. So yeah, it will feel good and important.
Good.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Cindy. Hold on here. There we go. Cindy.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, it's so funny because I've been really quiet, sometimes because my kids are running around in the background, but other times because I don't take up my own space. And this, whenever we were getting the message from our queen, the message was to fully stand in your own light. And hearing to the last person, I think that was Dana, talk about how there can be more than one queen just really struck home for me because my parents, I think, tried to do whatever they could to make things fair for my sister and I, which while I completely, as a parent, understand where they were coming from, I think was not the right way to go because my sister and I are completely different people and trying to make it fair all the time inadvertently invalidated the things that we were each uniquely good at.
Yes.
And so much of, I think, my fear of celebrating my successes or harvesting them or even feeling like I can be thankful for them or proud of them or like I did them has to do with not wanting to have other people feel that they aren't also successful or feel bad or that I'm bragging or any of those things. And it's definitely around my relationship with my sister and not wanting to feel like I'm more successful than she is or that it's not fair.
There is a faulty equation inside of you that if you take up more space, she gets less space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's because I was on the phone call with a client this morning talking about the same exact conversation with her relationship to her children and making it fair for them, even though they're very, very different children. So it's interesting that came up again for me just now. So as soon as my queen said, stand in your own light, I was like, I am going to hit this raise my hand button and I'm going to take
I'm so glad that you are taking up the space that you need and the space that you deserve. And that is like such good practice embodying the queen. And I'm glad this is coming through because my other sense, Cindy, is that your sacred work in the world is actually meant to take up a lot more space than you've been allowing it to out in the world in terms of your visibility because of some of what you're sharing right now.
Yes, I agree. So just Dana saying that there can be more than one queen was just like, oh my gosh, like...
Yeah.
My sister and I can both coexist in our unique ways without obliterating the other one.
Yes, I'm so glad. I know more is going to come from that. I want you to do some more journaling on this because I feel like there's more layers here and I want you to really be with it. I'm so happy that it's coming through.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for giving me the space to share.
Yes. All right. Tammy.
Hello.
Hi.
So I'm showing up after not being able to be present for any of the classes up until this point, but I'm showing up and I'm happy that I made this last call. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, what you want to honor about yourself in this process and showing up, and I was just thinking, like, yeah, it wasn't like what I had hoped it to be. I mean, obviously there was a conflict because I was teaching on those days, but I had hoped like every week I would be on top of it so I could be like in the moment with everybody. But like, you know, that's just how I work, and I have to just again step into owning that. Like my work, I work with the chaos and the flow, and that's just how it happens with me.
Yes.
So I was just honoring that as you brought it up. But it was nice to be back with the queen. I feel like I really got to embrace her with you a couple of years ago when we worked on the facilitator, master facilitator. Mm-hmm. And it was just interesting. Like, she was just really saying how beautiful I was and how much I've accomplished. But it was different. It was like, I think before it was like just owning it, but now it's like just sitting in it deeper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, acknowledging that I've been in my job for 20 years, but I also have so much life experience on top of that. And like, I've stepped into being a priestess, and, you know, now is my time to like breaking down walls and starting foundations, like getting out there and like really standing.
Yeah.
I think when I was queen, when I've been in queen before, it's been like in this quiet throne place, which is part of the queen, right?
Yeah.
But like, there's this piece of like really stepping into that other piece of it. So
I think you're so ready for that, Tammy. It's like, I just see it right there in front of you, and that you're ready, and it's time to step into that deeper level. And you, even as I say those words, what I hear in my head is that it's not just for you, it's actually for your community and all of the people that you serve. They need and want that from you.
Yeah, and as I say it, like what was coming up for me a lot, even in initiation, was like this idea of perfection, like getting over the idea that everything's got to be perfect. Like if you're, you know, if I'm coming from there, I'm not going to be able to kind of take what I need and let go of what I can't. But then as we're talking, I'm like, fuck, I'm scared, because what I'm doing is really big fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've already compromised my family's life for stepping up for what I believe in. And they're taking the journey with me, and I know that. But, like, if I keep stepping up, it's going to be bigger. And so it's scary.
Yeah, I hear that. And it's interesting that you just brought up the fool, because, like, remember the other piece of initiation is setting the foundation. Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is not, it's going to work for your family if you really set the strong foundation around your hours and how things are going to work and, you know, like all the things.
Yeah.
And there will be different iterations of that as you move forward, but you want to keep on every cycle, keep on coming back and making sure you set those foundations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Really nice. Good. Let's see. We're at 5, but I'm going to take any other hands that, well, actually there's, let's see, I'm going to try and take as many as I can in bulk.
Hey, I just wanted to to share that there was a lot that came up for me in terms of, like, the shadow. I mean, I was giggling just to see, like, the clarity of the projections, but also kind of, like, fear around, like, the evil eye around celebrating and so much of what other women have shared.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I really think in terms of my commitment is around the lover. And not just, like, you know, this thing around, like, the story or framing I have about being limited about growth or being consistent and persistent, but, yeah, something about, yeah, like, working with the lover more in some way.
Yeah, I love that that's coming up for you. And, like, as you're talking, you know, what I'm hearing in my head is, like, I think so much would shift for you, Inbal, if you took deeper pleasure in the things that you were doing as you were doing them, like, in the
yeah.
moment. Pleasure, however you want to define pleasure, as well as, like, pleasure literally in terms of the five senses, you know, like really bringing, you know, lover is also sensuality, you know, and I think it would not only make the growth easier, all the summer work easier for you, but I feel like, you know, back to what you were sharing earlier in this call, it would just make everything feel more satisfying and easier.
Yeah.
So I would love for you, I think it's such a great idea, and I'm so happy that you're making that sacred promise to the lover. And, I mean, I'm sure you've got lots of different ways, but I'm thinking, you know, at least one of the things I'd love for you to do is, like, put on music and dance with her and, you know, in a sensual way, and then bring that desire and that pleasure and that passion to even the most banal, you know, mundane of like writing a newsletter article, social media post, like whatever it is, like bring it to all of the tasks.
Right on.
Yeah.
I just want to add one last thing in case it's one of the first things that came to me with the queen, or one of the messages was like, you can always get off your throne. Like, you don't need to be among people, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't need to be, like, stuck on this throne, like, overlooking other people. Like, you know,
no.
You can, like, that there's choice
yeah.
in how we
well,
use our power. And so
yeah.
it was kind of liberating.
Yeah, and that, like, I'm glad that is coming through because, right, that sheds a light on a limiting belief around, right?
Exactly.
So good. I'm so glad. Good.
Thanks a million
really
for
work.
This.
Yeah. Great work. And let's see, who's still hanging on here? Renee.
Hi, Joanna. I feel like I should, like, have a conversation with Inbal. She, like, just said a lot of what I, you know, was feeling too. I you know, there's a lot that has come up for me, and I didn't get a chance to post it all on the Facebook group this past week, but around the lover. And I've been trying all week to work with that energy and feeling very disconnected
mm-hmm.
From the lover and the mother. Just a lot of, like, shame around sexuality and, like, sexual curiosity when I was little, and, you know, being told, like the talk my mom had with me before college was, like, don't go out for coffee with a non-Jewish man, because if you meet him, you know, if you fall in love and he's not Jewish, and, you know, it's like desire is bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I in some ways I do a really good job in harvesting when it's like a discrete project, you know, like after a deal closing, and I do a daily harvest, like it's part of my rituals to do, like, a what am I celebrating from today, what am I taking away, like what's my lesson for today, like what's the thing I can improve and do better. And I've done this for 6 years, and I have not missed a day, of course, because when I know the thing I'm going to do, I do it. And part of the lover energy for me is like, what is the thing to do? Like, if I know what to do, I do it. But then also in this like longer term life project, let's say, right? Sometimes it feels so hollow to like, I'm trying to celebrate what I can celebrate from a day, let's say, but because I'm so far away from where I want to be, it feels like I'm placating, right? It's like I'm celebrating, yeah. But it's almost like that. Like,
it's like an intellectual exercise, but not a full presence to it.
Yeah. And even when there is, it just feels like, it's like, oh, I like, even when I'm fully, my heart's like, oh my God, I yesterday I took some big action on something, you know? And it just is like, but what did that get you? Like, it's not here yet. There's nothing to celebrate yet. You just did the thing you need. Like, you know, you don't get credit for like waking up and getting out of bed in the morning, even though sometimes mm-hmm. that's a big fucking deal, you know? Like,
yeah. So that right so there, that, Renee, I think is a big, like something I want you to actually be more present to over this next week. Exactly what you just said. Just, right? Like doing the thing actually is a big deal.
Yeah. And then I guess the question I keep having is, and this came up a lot this week as I was like really working with like, where am I stuck? It's like, it feels like the clarity, like what are the steps? And I don't really know what energy that falls into, right? If that's like a spring planning, like getting clear on what to do, because I feel like when I'm clear on what to do, I do it. And I can do it consistently and persistently, even if I'm not seeing results. But, and then I was trying to make a promise, and I'm like, well, what is this? When you're like, what prescriptions are you giving yourself? And I'm like, I need to keep working with this, but I don't have a specific way in mind, right? So then it comes back to like, okay, well, what's this? It's like, keep working with this. It's so general. And I feel like that's where the fear takes hold, because fear loves the generality, right? When you get specific, it's like, okay, do the thing. What's going to happen? You're just going to do it, you know? But it's like, what is the thing to do?
Yeah, I hear you. I think some of it really is just like brass tacks, business consulting or instruction. You know, what are the next steps? So that probably isn't gonna, I mean, your lover can give you some of that because you do know a lot about business, but you might just need more support on that. But the other thing that's coming to mind, and it's reminding me, was something that came to mind about something I think you shared last week, which is about how, like, you just keep on showing up and you're doing the blog, but nothing is coming from it. And what I was thinking was, have you done a real assessment of the blog? Or assessment of any of the things that you're doing persistently and consistently, you know, that you have clarity on? It might be valuable to separate the wheat from the chafe on this, you know, on any of the things you're doing persistently and consistently, even the gratitudes.
Yeah. I look at the numbers every day. Like, I look to see what's getting activity.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started the blog, it was more about a vehicle for my creative expression, which in many ways it still is. It's like, mm-hmm. I need a repository for ideas, you know, and I wasn't like, let me grow it. And I think it's like, I know the things I need to do, you know, and actually one of the things I did yesterday was reach out to the website person who I had hired a year and a half ago to create a new website for me. You know, it's like to have an opt-in offer, to actually start sending a newsletter because I like people sign up, not in big numbers, but they do, and I'm not communicating with them. I'm not nurturing.
Well, so,
I'm not
so
doing
I'd say those are the things that I
yeah.
want you to work on next. Like, yes, I want you to continue to do inner work and work with the work archetypes and all of that. But Renee, like some of the things that you just mentioned, like I think those are the recommendations for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. See, I was like, when you're like, what specific things? I'm thinking, what more inner work? And it's like, I know I need to do like,
yeah,
I could spend all day doing inner work, you know? And
yeah. No, no, no. This
I
is
need
about
to do
outer
work.
Actions. Yeah. Good.
Cool.
I'm glad.
Thank
glad
you.
That came up. Yeah. You're welcome. All right, everybody. I am going to be with you on the Facebook group over the next 7 to 10 days. I want to hear from you. Please post. Let me know what's coming through. And I'm just sending you all so much love and gratitude. And I hope to hear your voices soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.